Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Advent season is really a time where we look forward with anticipation and with waiting for the celebration of the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, Emmanuel, God among us. The Jews, of course, waited for centuries and generations, knowing that this moment would eventually one day come, that Jesus would come and be the Christ. They had prophecy on prophecy, and they waited with great anticipation, looking and searching and trying to understand when the moment would be, but they had no date that had been given to them, so they just waited with hope for when will he come. It was a mystery to them to know when Jesus would arrive. And of course, the angel came to Mary and told her, you will be with child and he will come. But even as with waiting for a baby to arrive today, she could guess and she could estimate when it was that this baby would arrive. But between when Gabriel came and when they found themselves in that manger was a time of waiting for the mystery date of when Jesus would arrive. A time of anticipation. And so in the same way, we remember their waiting on the other side now, looking and knowing that Jesus came and arrived and looking and knowing what his life would mean. We remember their waiting. From now until December 25th, we participate in the anticipation of arrival. We participate in remembering the waiting with great hope. We wait and we remember what it must have been like to wonder, will he one day arrive? I want to begin our Advent time, if you want to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke takes a good amount of detail to record Jesus' life, and especially to record what the situation around his birth and his arrival must have been like. It's interesting when you read the Gospels to see the amount of detail or the lack thereof that different Gospel authors give to Jesus' arrival. But if we look in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, it recounts when Gabriel came to Mary. It starts like this. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end.'" And Mary asks the obvious question to the angel. It says, "And Mary said to the angel, 'And how will this be, since I am a virgin?'" Have you ever asked somebody a question, and then their response, you were looking for clarity, but when they respond to you, it doesn't add clarity, it only adds more confusion? Have you ever like had a question that you wanted to understand something more? And as the person was explaining to you the details surrounding it, you realized I am missing fundamental foundational piece. Like, you know, when you ask somebody, okay, can you explain to me how I know what gravity is, but how does gravity work? And they start trying to break it down for you. I know some of you are like, oh, I understand. That's great for you. But really? Do you really understand how gravity? Okay, when you go, okay, I use the internet absolutely every single day of my life. It's on my phone. I'm on it right now, reading my Bible. I'm on it right now, texting my friend, wondering where they're at. I am using the internet currently, but how does it work? And somebody starts explaining it back to you, and they start giving you the details and the breakdown of how this works. And somewhere in the middle of it, you realize, I do not understand what it is you are saying to me. And you start doing that thing where you go, Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. But actually, what you're saying is, I've given up. I don't understand the response to this question, and I'm regretting having ever asked for it, and I'm just going to go back to going, I don't really get. Mary asks a question of the angel that is an obvious next question. Mary goes, I understand the fundamental technicality logistics required for a baby to be formed, and I'm telling you, none of that has ever happened in my life, but you're telling me a baby is about to be born of me, so could you clarify for me how that is about to happen? And Gabriel goes, sure. This is what Gabriel says to her. He says, oh, yeah, absolutely. Luke 1 and 35, it goes on and he says, and the angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And there the child will be born, will be called Holy and the Son of God. Oh. Okay. I'm thinking if I'm Mary, I'm going, that has not added any clarity to me at all. In fact, you have opened up a whole other set of questions now that I have about exactly what it is that you are saying to me. Yet it says that Mary goes, very well then. Let me be the servant that has been chosen and favored by God. Because I think that Mary understood. She must have grasped something in the moment that there was always going to be an element of mystery about this thing. That there was always going to be a part of it that your mind just couldn't quite wrap around. Today, on this 1st of December, I want to talk to us about the gift of mystery. God is a God of great mystery. There is so much mystery in who He is. There is so much mystery in the God that the cosmos declare to us, the mystery and the wonder of who God is. That there are stars that are hung across the sky, yet they don't come colliding down, that there are planets that work in perfect alignment with their poles, creating a way for all of them to orbit the sun and rotate in their own sphere at the same time, that there is an expanse that we have yet to get to. The heavens declare to us that though we study it and though we want to understand it, the more we look in our telescopes to see how we can look at this great expanse that is the sky, we look at them and we begin to understand that this is a ball of gas that's declaring of His wonder, and we try to send ourselves out into space to mark ourselves on other planets and other territories. We send satellites to study it and to photograph it and to try to show us all that it is. And we understand it a little bit more. But at the same time, there's still a mystery. The more that we look at the cosmos that declare of who he is and the wonder of who God is, the more we know about it. And yet at the same time, the more mystery we find in it. The farther we go, the more we realize we haven't yet found the ends of it. The more we look, the more we understand. We thought this planet was going to be this way, but then we got some photos of it and it's different than the way we thought it's going to be. We have a whole new set of questions because there's a mystery about it. The more that we know it, it seems, the more that we have mystery. But we don't have to leave our own planet to find the great wonder and mystery of who God is. We could look to the depths of our own oceans. We dive into the oceans. Well, some of us do. Some of us like to stay where it's dry and safe. But we dive into the depths of the oceans and we find creatures that we didn't know were there. We dive into the depths of the oceans and we try to study its ground floor and we find ridges and we are still finding creatures that we didn't know were there, and we're still finding life forms that we didn't even know have been living on this planet. And the more that we study it, the more that we know about it and the more that we understand it, and at the same time, the more that we study it, the more mystery that we find in it, and the more we search for it and think that we could never possibly know the depths of it, the more we study it, the more we realize we didn't know that this part of it. Do you know that there are caverns under the ocean that we have never found the bottom of yet? The more we study it, the more mystery it is. Life is a mystery. The more we live it, the more we understand it, and at the same time, the more mystery there is to it. Is there anyone under 30? If you're under 30, can you just wave at me in the room? Wave at me if you're under 30. Beautiful. All right, if you're over 60, can you wave at me? Wave at me if you're over 60. Can all the people who are over 60 verify for me what I think my hypothesis on life is? That the more that you live it, 60 and over. If you're 60 and over, there's a debate on the front row as to whether or not they qualify for the 60 and over group from our founding pastors and leaders. Let me be clear and conscientious in my language. My hypothesis is that the more life that you live, the more clarity you have that there are some things that are just true of life. That the sun will rise another day, that life keeps on moving, that the righteous would never be forsaken or their seed begging for bread. But it's also my hypothesis that the more life you live, there are also parts of it that are just a mystery. That at the same time, I have more clarity on how life is lived. And at the same breath, I think to myself, I've been living life this long and there are some things that I know for certain. And at the same time, I would say life is a mystery to me. It's a weird paradox about the things that we study and the things that we know, that often the more that we study them, we gain more clarity and we gain more certainty. And at the same time, the more that I study it, the more mystery I have around it. Anyone who's been in a close, intimate relationship, you have a close friend, you have a close sibling, you have a spouse or a partner, or certainly you have children, knows and understands that you know them intimately, and yet they're a mystery to you. A friend of ours sent us a text message this week. With one of those, like, you go to the top of one of the highest buildings that you can find and hook yourself on to a little piece of twine and then throw yourself off of it for the thrill of it, and said, are we doing this? And I looked at that text message and I thought to myself, Phil Ryburn wants to do this. I know that he wants to do it because I know him and I've been studying him and I understand him. But at the same time, it's a mystery. Why would you do this to yourself? The good Lord put our feet on solid ground, on a rock that can never be shaken. Why would you go send yourself, but when the enemy took Jesus to the top of a building and said, would you throw yourself over? He said, I will not be tempted. It's a mystery. It's a mystery to me, while at the same time I know. Because God is a mystery. There is a mystery in who God is. Jesus is a mystery. It is the paradox of who God is and of who Jesus is, that he can be known to us yet maintain his mystery. It is the mystery of the birth of Jesus, in the coming of Jesus, in the life of Jesus, that in his life and in his earthly form, we gain such a clear picture and such a clear knowledge and such a clear understanding of who he is. Jesus comes to live among us, to reveal to us what God is really like. And in Jesus, we learn about the humble servant who came not to be served, but to serve others. The one who would kneel and wash his disciples' feet. We learn that God is this leading, humble servant. In Jesus, we learn about the power, the authority, the steadfastness of the character of who God is, that it says that he taught with such authority like they had never seen it before. And we understand who he is in a fresh way, and we see who he is in the person of Jesus. We gain clarity about the heart of God, that his passion and his compassion is moved for those who are broken and are downtrodden, who are forsaken and who have been cast out among the others, that there's something about who God is, that when I'm hurting and broken and I've been abandoned by all else, that his heart moves towards that. In Jesus, we see it and we get clarity on it. In Jesus, we see that God has a healing hand, able to cast out sickness and infirmity and disease and demonic powers. We see the power of who God is in the person of Jesus. We get to know him better, and we get so much more clarity on who he is. And at the same time, in the coming of Jesus, there are mysteries and questions that I can't even still begin to comprehend or to understand. In the person of Jesus, I see and I understand the clarity of God so much more clearly. Yet, there's a mystery. The incarnation is a mystery. That someone would be fully God, yet fully human, all at the same time. It's a mystery. It's a mystery how this one person completely encapsulate what it is to be God in all of his authority and all of his wonder and all of his power. And yet at the same time, he's just like us. The mystery is too great for me to fully understand and to fully comprehend, because there's this part of him that's just like me. He walks around and he gets tired when we've gone for too long because he's human like me. He needs to sit down and he needs to eat because he's hungry, because he's human like me. He cries and he weeps when his heart is broken at the loss of his friend because he's human just like me. And so I think that I start to understand him because Jesus is human. But then there was this other thing where we were on a boat and the storm was so bad that the rest of us thought we would be taken under because we're human and we knew that we couldn't fight the storm anymore. But he just stood up and he spoke to the storm, and the storm stopped, and the wind stopped, and the waves cleared, because also he's fully God. I don't know how to wrap my mind around the mystery of what it is to be fully man and to be fully God, that it says that he was completely like God, yet he laid down his godness so that he could wrap himself in flesh and put himself in a womb and be born like a baby and dependent on his very own creation, yet at the same time, he wasn't born the way that other humans were born. There was this thing about the Holy Spirit overshadowing. There was this thing about Joseph and Mary had, he's fully God because he was born just like I was born, fully man because he was born just like I was born, but he's also fully God because he wasn't conceived the way that I was conceived. The incarnation is quite a mystery to me, how one would be fully God and fully human all at the same time. Jesus brings a mystery that I can't quite understand. There's a mystery in how this young woman and this young man even made it through. How this young woman who was engaged to be married said, "Let me be used by you, God." How this young man who had nothing but a dream to go on found it in himself to stand by her. How they found it somehow to stand in the face of the critics, to stand in the face of the gossip. How they found it somehow in themselves to escape to Egypt and build another life for themselves and then return again to their... It's a mystery to me how they even made... Is there any parts of your story that are a mystery to you? How you even made it through? That you can look back and say, I couldn't give you explanation for how I made it from there to here. It's a mystery to me that I even got this far. I know how to tell you that I made it, but I don't know how to tell you how I made it because it's a mystery to me. It's a mystery to me. It's a mystery to me how the budget worked out in Seasons. I tried to do my best and I made the numbers, but it seemed like it kept falling short. And I just kept thinking that there's a story about a widow in the Bible. And it says every time she went back to her jars, there was still something in it. And it's a mystery. And I feel like in my own life, there are times and there are seasons that I don't know how to tell you how to make it. I just know that every time I went back to the jar, there was something in it still. It's a mystery to me. But it seemed like my jar, it's a mystery to me how when the relationship ended and the business went under, it's a mystery to me how I still found some way to make it. It's a mystery to me how I stood when others didn't stand. It's a mystery to me how I kept my right mind when other people lost it. It's a mystery to me how I found a way to make it. When I think about this young couple and how they found a way to make it, I also have to think about my own story and think about how I made it. And it's a mystery. It's a mystery how some saw Jesus and they believed. Some saw his miracles and they believed in him. Some heard his messages and they believed in him. Some sat at meals with him and they believed in him. And at the same time, Some saw his miracles and criticized when he did them. Some heard his messages and criticized the authority that he spoke with. Some sat at meals with him and criticized the others that were welcomed at the table. It's a mystery to me why some saw him and believed, and others saw him and criticized. It is the paradox of who Jesus is, that the more I study him, the more I know him, and the clearer I am on who God is. And yet at the same time, the more I study him and the more I look at him, the more mystery I find in who he is, because God is a mystery. Our issue is we like clarity. We like information. We like to know that we know and give you all of the facts and all of the details. When I was pregnant for the first time, there's this book that tells you what to know and what to expect and what's going to be happening at, like, it goes like week by week, every single session, so you can know exactly what's coming your way. And different people have different opinions on whether or not that's helpful. And people would tell me, oh, yeah, that can be good. Or you might find some of it, but don't get too into it. And other people were like, don't read it at all. Just leave it alone. Because it doesn't just tell you the good things. It also tells you the troubles or the ailments or the issues that can come along the way. But the book is set up in a way that you're really supposed to read it 1 week at a time as you go through. I read that sucker in 3 weeks as soon as I found out I was pregnant. I read it from cover to cover because I like information. Information calms me. Information helps me feel settled. Information allows me to pretend that I have some form of control over what's happening. We like to have information. We have information available and ready to us at a fingertips notice, at a voice notifications piece of information. All I have to do is say, hey, Siri, let me know what year XYZ happened, and the information is coming my way. At the Thanksgiving table, we're fact-checking each other. We're looking for historical photo evidence. We're looking for a live interview of someone who was really there in real time who can tell us went down. We like to have information. The trouble is that there is a gift in the mystery. There is a gift to be unwrapped in maintaining and finding and embracing the mystery of who God is. See, mystery gives space in us for desire. It is difficult to have desire when all mystery has been eliminated. Mystery is part of what fuels in us a desire for something. The most obvious example of this is a story of two young, hopeful lovers. And it is the mystery of who this other person is that fuels in me a desire for this person. My desire to understand them more. My desire to learn all of the things I don't know. My desire for the potential possibilities of a future life with this person. Desire is essential to fueling the foundation of that early relationship, and mystery is a must if we are going to fan the flame of desire. In fact, research of relationships will tell you that if too much mystery is eliminated from the relationship too early on in the relationship, it disrupts the bonding that is necessary for a relationship to fully form, because mystery creates desire. but maybe in a far less consequential way that we would understand as well, is have you ever really wanted to go see a new movie or a new show and then someone told you how it ended? You're talking to them and then they're like, well, you know, because he dies at the end. And you're like, no, I did not know. And they're like, it's the Titanic. But understanding the ending eliminates the mystery of the story. And when the mystery of the story is eliminated, the desire for that thing is squandered in your life, because mystery creates desire. God is a mystery because there needs to be a part of us that desires to be close to him. There needs to be a part of us that desires to be drawn to him. Embracing the mystery of who God is fans the flame of our desire to be with him. And when we have a desire for him, it pushes us to seek him, to seek after God, to seek after who he is, to search to understand him, to search for answers to the questions of the mysteries that we have. Isaiah said to seek him while he may be found. Solomon said it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Jesus told us that those who seek find. It's our desire that pushes us into seeking. And in our seeking that we can learn more of who he is. And in our seeking that we begin to gaze on who he is. And when we seek after him and we learn about him and we begin to understand him, it moves us into a place of awe for who this God is. The more I know about him and the more I understand about him and the more that I see him and the more that I understand him, the more in awe of him I am, because now my desire for him moved me to seek him, and my seeking for him moved me into a deeper understanding of the character of who he is, and moved me into a deeper understanding of the nature of who this God is, and moved me into a deeper understanding for the way that his hand moves and works in my life and in the lives of those around me. And it caused me to stand in awe and in wonder of him and say, and who is this great God of ours? And who is this mighty king? And who is this God who hung the stars in the sky yet allowed himself to come down and be among us? Because I have to stand in awe and in wonder of his creative hand. And when I stand in awe and in wonder of his creative hand, I realize that there are yet mysteries about him that I don't even understand. And it moves me back to desiring to know him more. And it moves me back to understanding who he is more. And it moves my heart to say that there is more about you. I need to be closer to who you are, God. I need to draw closer to you yet, God. There are great mysteries of who you are that I haven't yet comprehended. And there are great mysteries about your name that I haven't yet wrapped my mind around. And there are great mysteries about the working and the moving of your hand that I haven't yet begun to grapple with and understand. So I need to seek you out a little bit more. I need to search your word a little bit more. I need to look at your face just a little bit more. I need to understand and hear the testimonies of those who have gone before me just a little bit more, so that I can search you and understand you. And the more I search him and the more I understand him at a new layer and a new depth and a new part of understanding, the more I stand in awe and in wonder. And I say, you're awesome. And I say, you're glorious. And I say, the works of your hand are many. And I say, who is this great God? And I say, I can't believe that you would look on me, God, because you're so mighty and you're so awesome and you're so holy and you're so compassionate. And I stand in awe and in wonder of who he is. And it's all because of the mystery. the mystery of who He is, the mystery of this great God of ours, the mystery of understanding who is Jesus that would come and be among us. Who is Jesus that I can understand Him, yet there's a mystery in who He is. We have to embrace the gift of the mystery. We have to know that there is a mystery in who He is. This Advent season, embrace the mystery of the wonder of the part that I can never fully comprehend, and allow it to fuel your desire, to push you into seeking, that causes you to stand in awe of who He is. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his Reflections on Advent, said this that I wanted to share with you today. He said, "That is the unrecognized mystery of this world, Jesus Christ. That this Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, was Himself the Lord of glory. That was the mystery of God. It was a mystery because God became poor, low, lowly, and weak out of love for humankind. Because God became a human being like us, so that we would become divine. And because He came to us, so we would come to Him. It's a mystery. God is a mystery. Jesus is a mystery. He can be known, yet He is a mystery. And His gospel, His good news, His work that He came to accomplish is a mystery. That we who are so far from God and so unlike God could come to be with God, could come to be part of His divine nature, not out of our own hand, not out of our own striving, not out of our own works, not out of our own goodness, but simply because He came to us so that we could come to Him. It's a mystery. It's a mystery how it all works, and it's a mystery why He would do it when He could have done so many other things. It's a mystery why He loves us to the depths that He loves us, and why He calls us His own, and why He calls us home to Him. It's a mystery, and yet He does it. And it makes me desire Him more, and it makes me seek Him more, and it makes me stand in awe of this great God that we have and this great God that we serve. There's a mystery to the working of His hand. And today is a day that some of us are going to say yes to coming in relationship with Jesus again. Because for some of us, the mystery has been a barrier to accepting His love. I don't know if I understand it. You don't have to. It's a mystery. I don't know if it all makes sense to me. It probably never will. It's a mystery. But you get to come home to it still. I'm not sure if He can love me the way I am. He does. It's a mystery why He loves sinners and broken people like us. But He does. It's a mystery why He chooses the broken and the downcast and the hurting. It's a mystery why even those who are in their own arrogance and their own striving, that He calls us home. It's a mystery. But He does it. And all we have to do is say, yes, I want You in my life, Jesus. I want to ask everyone who's able to stand in this room to stand with me as we prepare to pray this prayer together. A prayer for people who are saying, today's my day to come home. We're all going to pray it together. A prayer for people who are saying, today I'm accepting the divine mystery of Jesus' love for me. I like to pray it together because when you come home to Jesus, you come home to Him, but you also get to come home to the family of God. And some of us need some new relationships in our life. And repeat after me. Say, God, I come to you today. I thank you for your Son, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for your life, for your death, and for your resurrection. And today I ask you to come into my life. I'm letting go of a life that was led by me, and I'm taking hold of a life led by you. Holy Spirit, will you teach me how and keep me in it for all of my days?